Court. This is Kay.
Hello, Kay.
I've been in your program just about 2.5 years, and just under 2 years ago, my husband's year-long affair ended, not his doing, but we've worked over that time. Things have gotten better, but there's some things, but I would say one specific thing that I still can't get past in regards to the trust is, and I've gone through your pillars of trust with my husband and such, is basically I would say like the secret cell phone and credit card. So of all things, during the time he, you know, started keeping all that secret and hasn't.
Okay,
what's
your question here?
How do I approach that subject of, you know, cell phone, it's his private, credit card, his private.
What do you mean? Does he still have a private cell phone and credit card?
When I say private, meaning, I mean, it is his phone. I don't have any access to it. I don't have access to any of that.
So that's still going on with the credit card and with the phone?
Correct.
And you say your husband has heard the discussion about the three pillars of trust?
Yes, he has.
Well, he either doesn't understand it or he's just not choosing to adhere to those pillars. Because
I think it's the latter.
Okay. So I'm not sure what you have to clarify for me again what your question is, because I understand why you don't trust him. You don't trust him because he's not behaving in a trustworthy way. I mean, what you're describing lacks transparency. I mean, it's a violation of pillars 2 and 3. Maybe 1, too, right? But for sure, pillar 2 and 3, it's highly suspicious, and it lacks transparency. So you will not trust him as long as he continues this behavior.
Now, like the first time, or the first part you said, maybe he doesn't understand it. And how can I approach it? I do think he understands it. I think it's kind of gotten to a cat and mouse game now that he knows it's such a stickler point for me, and he says it's my only independence, kind of jokingly. But how do I approach him understanding that is such a huge part of trust, that without that, you know, maybe
it's
nothing happens.
It's more than that. It's not just – is your husband listening to this?
Not right now, no.
Would he listen to this?
He has listened to some of your...
Okay, so it would be better probably if it came from me, right? I mean, I'm not anybody's side. I'm just trying to be helpful. You know, you said that this is a huge part of trust, referring to the phone and the credit card. I would say it very differently. It's not that the phone and the credit card is a huge part of trust. It's that being beyond suspicion and being transparent is everything when it comes to trust. So I think you are minimizing the magnitude of the mistake when you zero in on these two specific examples. I know they're very biting examples for you. I know they're, you know, and they're great examples, and I don't mind you giving me the examples. But the big, you know, if you zoom out and ask, like, what are the principles that are being violated here, again, the problem is the lack of transparency and the fact that he's not being beyond suspicion. And
is there...
the explanation, you know, it's my only independence, I don't know what that means. That doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, what do you mean your only independence? You can go to the bathroom alone, right? You go to work alone. You got coins in your pocket. You've got a membership to the gym. I mean, I don't know what that means. Besides the fact that when we get married, you know, we shouldn't be striving for independence. The whole point of married life and family life is to create an interdependence, which is a much higher level than independence. it sounds like there's some, you know, two things I picked up on. There's some really fundamental, you know, misunderstandings possibly going on with your husband about what it means to be trustworthy, and also some very unhealthy dynamics in the way, you know, he views things and in his some of his behaviors. Now, of course, all of this is based on what you're telling me. It could be after I spoke to him I would feel differently, but those are some pretty, you know, that attempted explanation, it's my only independence, is a pretty big red flag.
Red flag as in?
It's just a red flag of many things. Even if that were the case, the fact that he would choose something for himself that has such significant consequences on you and the marriage is a level of insensitivity and selfishness that's scary. Add to that that why a man is in a marriage is striving for independence shows a lack of understanding of how to function in a healthy way in a marriage. So
coming from me to him, I mean, getting him, and maybe I can try to get him on the next call.
Well, or just have him listen. To, you know, this is recorded. You could have him listen to this.
So that you coming from me, you think I should have him sit and listen to this?
Look, I don't. You know, we just have a couple of minutes here.
Yeah.
If he's listened to things before, if you think he might be open to what I have to say on the matter, then it's a judgment call on your part. I mean, you know, I don't know your situation well enough to know whether or not there's a reasonable chance that he would be open to that. If there's a reasonable chance that he would be open to it, then yeah, it'd be better coming from me than it would be from you. If, on the other hand, there's no way he's going to be open to that, you know, he thinks I'm a joke, he doesn't like me, he listened to one CD and fell asleep, or, you know, I don't know, or just generally he doesn't care what anybody thinks. You know, when he wants to know what somebody thinks, he tells them what they think. I know if he's that kind of person, so then no, you know, don't let him listen to it. You're going to have to make that judgment call whether or not you think it could do some good.
Okay.
You do have a responsibility, though, whichever way you go in that regard. You do have a responsibility to make sure that he knows that this is hurtful to you, that it is offensive to you, that it is inhibiting the two of you from rebuilding trust together. You know, you can't expect him to be sensitive to you, that means change his behavior to accommodate your feelings, unless he knows how you feel. Now, from the response you told me that he gave you, it sounds like he feels this is a bit of a power struggle.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's not so, I'm not sure exactly how you got yourself into that, but that's not so good because it's hard now for him to be sensitive to you when he's probably feeling like it wouldn't be an act of sensitivity on his part, but it would be an act of concession. Sounds like you've somehow got him into a situation where he feels like if he does this, he loses. That's not a good place to put somebody. It makes it hard for them to, nobody wants to concede. Nobody wants to be overpowered. Nobody wants to have to swallow their pride and feel like they sort of lost the battle.
I said if you do believe in that, you probably might be leaning into something. How?
So you have to try over time.
How do you get past that dynamic then?
Yeah, you have to try over time to reset that up, to reframe that between the two of you, that it's not something you're pushing for or vying for. It's not a power struggle. You're not asking him or telling him to do anything. Instead, you are expressing your feelings about the matter. which gives him the opportunity to be sensitive. It makes it obvious that changing his behavior would be helpful, appreciated, but because you're not asking and vying for it, it doesn't put him in a situation where if he does it, he's lost, he's conceded. In fact, on the contrary, it puts him in a situation where he's the one taking the initiative. He's doing it because he chose to do it. You see, when you, let me put it to you like this. This is an important insight in all relationships. When you tell somebody to do something, when you make it so unequivocal what you want and how you want it, you don't give them any room to have ownership of the action or the decision. The best they can do is be compliant. The best they can do is meet your expectations. That's not very exciting. Nobody feels good about themselves when they're compliant and they meet somebody's expectations. I don't want to meet your expectations. I want to be your hero. I want to exceed your expectations. I want to do something you didn't ask me to do, you didn't expect me to do. That I feel good about. So, again, when you make it so crystal clear and you're demanding about what you want and expect, you create a situation where a person can't take ownership of it and can't feel good about it. But if you're softer, if you're more gentle, if you are not demanding, if you aren't giving direction, but instead you're opening up opportunities by expressing your feelings and somebody recognizes they have the opportunity to be sensitive to your feelings if they were to do this or that. You didn't tell them to do it. You didn't even suggest it. They're smart enough, or anyway, let them think that they're smart enough to make a connection between your feelings and the action that they're doing that's creating that feeling, and the corresponding action they could take that would alleviate that feeling. Let them figure it out. If they figure it out and they feel it's their idea, they might get excited about it. If you make it so clear that I feel this because you're doing that and you should do this, oh gosh, I mean, you know, if I'm 6 years old and you have to do that in order to get me in line, so, you know, okay, but I'm not six, you know. I'm actually going to be 50 next month, and I want to believe, I want to feel like it's my idea. It's my initiative. I want to be able to take ownership of it and feel good about it.